In yesterday's way, Standing Them Up on Truth Part 1, we said that in order to really help people, you have to help them get to the root of their problems. Deep confusions about life, a bad self-image, an inability to control desires, emotional baggage from the past, all these can prevent a person from growing and reaching their potential. The most difficult aspect of helping people is that people are often unaware of what they need to change. Unhappy people will say they are happy. People into false meanings will think they have the truth. In the Guinness Book of World Records, there is a picture of the man with the world's longest fingernails. To us, it looks ridiculous, yet he must think it's meaningful. To appreciate the need to reach out to those people and not to leave them unaware, I want to tell a powerful story I heard many years ago from Rav Noach Weinberg. It isn't a real story, but the message is very real and applies to many situations. Rav Noach asked us to imagine a woman who always wanted to get married and have children, but she married the wrong person who beat her and left her. She never had the children she wanted, and she was now past childbearing age. From the pain of not getting what she wanted in life, she went insane. In the asylum, she lived with the delusion that she had a new baby every day. She showed it to the doctor every morning. Rav Noach would ask the question, if you were the doctor in that institution, would you try to get her out of her delusion? Right now she's happy. She has what she wants. If you show her that she has no baby, she will become an unhappy woman in intense pain who can't get what she most wants out of life. Many people would answer that it is better to keep her happy in her delusion. Some people will say that it is more important she live with truth, even if she is miserable. But the answer is clear if you imagine that you were a doctor in that hospital. You had an argument with your wife last night, and you were in a bad mood. When she happily shows you her baby on your rounds that morning, you lose it. You say to her, come on, lady, there's no baby there. How does our intuition tell us she would react? She would be angry with the doctor, scream at him, perhaps have a fit. Compare that to a woman in a maternity ward who is holding a real baby. The same grumpy doctor says the same thing. She won't be upset. She will laugh it off and wonder how that crazy doctor got into the hospital. Why the difference in reaction? Because the woman with the real baby has a real baby, and the woman with the imaginary baby knows that she doesn't. Deep down, she knows the truth, and she is as deeply unhappy as she ever was. Her delusion just represents an immense, exhausting effort to cover up what she knows. A doctor who cares would obviously not tell her the truth in such an insensitive way. He might first weigh her to the side of merit by putting her in situations where she can interact with real children. He could counsel her about what she could do with her life even without children. But ultimately, if he cares about her, he has to stand her up on truth, because only then can she deal with the reality of her situation and work to change it. This example applies on some level to all of us. The person who doesn't believe in God and has no real meaning in his life has his own imaginary baby. He covers up his lack of meaning by being a workaholic or a party animal. If you point that out to him in a non-caring way, he will get angry at you, like the woman with the imaginary baby. But if you care about him, don't accept his protestations that he is happy. Work out how to reach him. A human being without meaning is miserable, and he can't keep up his delusion forever. The above story gives us the motivation to stand someone up on truth, even if he or she doesn't really understand that they have a problem. But even if you want to, it's very hard to get through to people. Our second story showing how to stand someone on truth is given in the Talmud through the story of Uncleus the convert. Uncleus later wrote the Aramaic translation of the Torah that is found in every Chumash. He started life as the nephew of the Roman emperor. When he converted, embarrassing his family, the emperor sent soldiers to arrest him. He got in a Torah discussion with the first group of soldiers, and they all ran away and converted to Judaism. The emperor sent a second group of soldiers with instructions not to get into a Torah discussion with him. He asked them, in the Roman army, does the general go before the soldiers, or do the soldiers go before the general to protect him? They answered, of course, the soldiers go before the general. Uncleus told them, among the Jewish people, we see that God went before them in the desert in a pillar of fire to protect them. The second group all ran away and converted. The emperor sent a third group with instructions not even to talk with them. Uncleus put his hand on the mezuzah and laughed. Overcome with curiosity, they asked him why. He said to them, in your army, does the king protect the people or the people protect the king? They answered, of course, the people protect the king. Uncleus told him, among the Jewish people, the king protects the people, as symbolized by the mezuzah. The third group also ran away and converted. As someone who's worked in Jewish outreach for many years, I'm amazed and envious. Roman soldiers had to be the roughest human beings around. How did Uncleus manage to convert three groups of these difficult people? The answer is that Uncleus spoke to the great truth about their lives. These were Romans, descendants of our wicked brother Esau. In Esau's world, the world of Rome, only success counted. Those lower down only existed to serve the ones who succeeded. Uncleus showed them that life could be different. They didn't have to live with the pain of having to spend their lives serving the king or the general. That realization, spoken by someone who totally believed it, was enough to get through to the roughest human beings and get them to change their lives. Today, we're still living in Esau's world that came out of the Roman Empire. Success is still the greatest value of that world. We need to speak truth to the people who are living in the pain of that world and show them that Judaism looks at the world differently. The ultimate level of standing a person on truth would be to be able to show them their deeper pain in such a way that they know they must change, then show them how to do it. May we all care enough about people to learn to speak to them in the way that Uncleus did.